Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Hey, I have a question for you. This is an interesting question. Tiffany actually asked this question in the context of marriages. We have a small group that we meet with once a week or so. And she asked the group, hey, when you're frustrated or you find yourself kind of even entertaining the idea that you don't like your spouse, what do you come back to? Like, what is an anchor? And so I thought, that's a great question. For her, she has a strong assurance and a strong sense that our relationship is more than just about us. Like, there's a bigger story that God's invited us into as a couple. For me, it's the fact that Tiffany has been, for 33 years, seriously, the most comfortable person that I can be around. Like, she is my best friend. And so we come back to those things. We come back to those consistent anchors. So I wanted to not just ask that question, although it might be pertinent to some of you, like, just to take a survey. What do I come back to? Like, whenever things are wobbly in my relationship with my spouse. But I want to extend it out a little bit, and I want to ask this question more broad stroke than that. So when you find yourself tired or confused or spiritually disoriented or frustrated or overwhelmed or tempted or discouraged, what do you come back to? Is it a promise? Is it a memory of some experience? Is it a passage of scripture? Is it a prophetic word or a series of words that encouraged you over the years and continue to encourage you now? Do you come back to friends? Do you come back to church? Do you come back to what? I don't know. I just want us to pause for a minute and just let you kind of mull that over in your heart. What do you come back to consistently? What do you come back to? Being the extrovert that I am, as I'm getting older, I'm actually discovering the value of stillness. What I'm coming back to more and more is stillness, silence and solitude. It's becoming kind of a test for me. The test for me personally is this question of, am I motivated from the internal connection that I have with Jesus, or do I run after external stimuli and even adrenaline? So that's really good, because then, like, my heart then can be oriented back to the Trinity, back to the Father. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, and I have been talking about Holy Spirit over the last couple of months, actually, and it's been woven into a context of who we are as the church, like, as the ecclesia, as the koinonia. So I won't replay all of that. Some of you have been away. You've been on vacation. You've been to France, for goodness sakes. You've been to France, for goodness sakes. She just got back a couple days before the wedding. And, yeah, so what was I saying? Oh, so I won't replay all the things that we've been talking about over the last couple of months. But suffice it to say, the Holy Spirit has really been at the heart of it and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to spend some time talking about being anointed by God, by His Holy Spirit. So let's talk about that here for a little bit. And so if you would take your Bibles, and let's go to Acts 1, verse 4. And while you're turning there, I will pepper in a couple of points that might be helpful for us as we orient towards this. We explored what it means in Acts 3 when Peter refers to the church as the sons of the prophets. We talked about how in the Old Testament there was a school of the prophets that was overseen by Samuel, and that his kind of authority and anointing was passed down from generation to generation. And we saw how the spirit or the anointing of Elijah was passed to Elisha in 2 Kings 2. And the emphasis for us has been on exploring what it means for God to say that he's sending the spirit of Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. All of these things are really like meaty, and like they stand alone as needing some time. And so podcasts are available over the last couple of months. But when we talk about the spirit of Elijah, we're not talking about a reincarnation of the man Elijah. We're talking about the anointing of God on a man to give him a capacity to live a life that God's called him to. Specifically with Elijah and then Elisha, who got a double portion of that, we saw the miraculous. We saw him getting God's heart and his mind for cities, for people, for a nation, for individuals. And so that type of lifestyle is really what we would call like a prophetic community. If we are indeed like the sons of the prophets, like there's this anointing that has been passed down from generation to generation. And Peter would tell us in Acts 3 that this anointing is for you, church. Okay, that's really amazing, kind of epic stuff, but it really does boil down to some real practical life on life dynamics as the koinonia, as the fellowship of believers. So Acts 1, starting in verse 4. Once when Jesus was eating with his disciples, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the what? The gift. Key word that he promised. I've told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore your kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and those times. That's not for you to know, but this is for you to know. Verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's for you to know. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, depending on what flavor of church you grew up in, that could mean passing out tracts, or it could mean being prophetic. You know? But you're going to be able to tell the story. You're going to be able to live the story. You're going to be able to bring to people wherever they're at, people everywhere, you know, close and far away, to the ends of the earth or your neighbors across the street, you're going to be able to connect people with the story, the reality of God. So that being said, after this, he was taken up in a cloud. Well, these are the last words that Jesus said to his disciples. You will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what you need to know. And then they didn't see him again. In fact, he told them beforehand, he's like, it's better that I go, because unless I go, the Holy Spirit can't come. When I leave, the Holy Spirit's coming to you. You're going to be anointed. So here's the thing that I want to do. Again, putting it back into the context. What do we come back to? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the power to live in the grace of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's power at work in your life. That's the gift. So much so that if you were to take your Bibles and turn to 1 John 2, go ahead and do that. Let's either make a note or turn to 1 John 2, verse 26. Because there's confusion that comes. There's disorientation that happens. Again, what do we come back to? What do we orient our hearts towards? And in verse 26 of 1 John 2, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you, trying to disorient you, trying to discourage you, trying to distract you. There's people that, you know, can do that. And this is what his response to that is. Look, if you got conflicting voices in your life, if you've got conflicting messages that are coming at you, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. So the anointing of God is in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you. Wait, his anointing teaches you? So as his anointing is in you, it begins to teach you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So here we have this teaching in 1 John that talks about the anointing that we've received. It's in us and it teaches us. Now, many of us, I don't know what your version says. Does your version say that the Holy Spirit is in you and he teaches you? I mean, we've heard that verse. We've heard that verse that you have no need for a teacher because the Holy Spirit leads you. He's the Spirit of truth and he leads you into all truth. That's the same, one and the same. The anointing that abides in you and the Spirit of truth are one and the same. So when you're frustrated and you're disillusioned and you're discouraged and you're weary and you're spiritually disoriented, we come back to the anointing that we received from Jesus who abides in us. We come back to that. I've had fun over the years teaching at various Youth with a Mission bases on the Holy Spirit, on the grace of God and the anointing of Jesus. It's really been fun because there's a just wide variety of students that come to get trained up by Youth with a Mission during their discipleship training school, which some of these kids are just fresh. I mean, some of these kids aren't even believers really yet. Some of them get saved at their DTS. One of the things that I was really fascinated by was this dynamic of people joining organizations like that. The organization praying through their applications and saying, yes, we want them to come through our training. And they have like serious issues. You know, like they got serious problems. They got, you know, like this, I call it like this hope for rehabilitation. Clean slate. New beginnings. All of those things are brilliant, wonderful. Yes and amen. But remember, your problems come with you, you know. So over time, they're still faced with the issues that they're faced with. And so for me to come in and say, look, there's a way that God has provided for each one of us to live holy, righteous lives that do not hinge directly on my own personal strength. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word is dunamis power, where we get the word dynamite from the inside out. Boom. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we're going to touch that a little bit. So what's really fun for me is when I talk about the Holy Spirit and I talk about the grace of God and I talk about the anointing of Jesus, they're actually all one and the same. The grace of God, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of Jesus. Grace equals what? What's the word for grace? It's charis, which means divine gift. Holy Spirit, the promised gift from the Father. Anointing is the power of God's Spirit enabling us to live as we were intended to live. So I've often found it interesting that most people don't understand that Jesus of Nazareth, which actually his name is Joshua. He was known as Joshua, son of Joseph. And he's called Jesus Christ not because his last name is Christ. Christ, or Christos, means the anointed one. Remember, in order for him to fulfill all righteousness, he was baptized with water. And when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he began 3 years of very dynamic ministry that literally changed the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in his human power. So if you and I are Christocentric, if we're Christ-centered, then you and I orient our hearts and our minds towards the anointing of God. By his grace, and we orient our hearts and our minds towards the Holy Spirit, and we recognize that he is our source of empowerment. Remember, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit enters into your life. And this anointing of the Holy Spirit abides within you and it teaches you, it orients you. This can change the way that we consider what it means to really be living the Christian life. But before we get into that, let me also say what it can change is our perception on what an Antichrist spirit is. Now, I was raised to think Antichrist was going to be manifested in like a single man, and he was going to have this great showdown with Jesus. And that may happen, but in my opinion, I think that it's much more subtle than that, and that we're actually in the middle of this conflict now, and we have been for hundreds of years, where the Antichrist spirit is actually active and moving. So let's remember what we're taught in 1 John 4 in verses 1 through 4. Maybe you're still in 1 John. You can just jump over to 1 John 4, 1 through 4, where it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming. And now, when this was written, it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." What's them? These Antichrist spirits, right? So you have overcome them. You have victory. You have an overcoming capacity. You don't have to be taken in by these disorienting spirits. Because greater is he who is in you. What's in you? The anointing of Christ that is abiding in you. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the anointing of the Holy Spirit within you than any other Antichrist spirit. That's what it's saying. So this Antichrist agenda is intended to deny and cast doubt on the existence and the importance of Jesus. It's also effective in casting doubt on the existence and the importance of the Holy Spirit. Or can I say, the Christ-likeness that you and I are called to display, the anointed life that you and I are called to display. So the Antichrist spirits are actually casting doubt on the importance of this anointed life. It's anti-Christ, not just anti-Jesus, but anti-anointing. So it's not just on the epic world stage in politics and in, socioeconomic structures. It is in that. It's also in the church. It's also bumping up against our own lives. You see, if we can be convinced that the things of the Spirit were for then and not for now, then what are we left with? If we're convinced that the things of the Spirit are not really for us, like it's for that elite class or for the weirdos or for the whatevers, then what are we left with? If we have it in our hearts to be Christ-like, if we have it in our hearts to be Christ-centered, if we have it in our hearts to actually be Christians, Christ-bearers, that's not just let's pretend like we're Jesus. It's let's live the anointed life. So if we have this misorientation where the things of the Spirit are not for us, then what we're left with is self-reliance. If the power to live a life worthy of God's love depends on my ability to live according to the principles of the Scripture alone, devoid of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God to enable me, then I have put my faith in self-righteousness. If I have allowed an Antichrist spirit to convince me that while I may have a form of godliness, like I can put on a show, you know, I can do it. Like I can, when I'm around these people, I can be like that. That chameleon thing, which is kind of a classic sign that you're under the influence of a lesser authority. If you can't be yourself everywhere you go, then you're under the influence of lesser authorities. I'm just going to put it out there. And there's a self-reliance that you've kind of played into where you're able to kind of read the field and you're able to morph into what you perceive everybody's going to want or need from you. That brings a sense of validation. Again, all of these things are complex. They're deeply interwoven. And so when we talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, all of this has to come into the light because this is the stuff of the Antichrist spirit. Because one of the things the Antichrist spirit does is it wants to convince you that you have within yourself the capacity to live the life that God has called you to, devoid of God's power in your life, devoid of the Holy Spirit, devoid of the anointing. Got me preaching here. I mean, wasn't it Jesus himself who criticized the religious by telling them that they searched the scriptures in hope that they might find life, and yet they refused to come to him, the anointed one, the giver of life? And so in that, the flip side of that coin is our righteousness is from God. It is a divine gift, and it is delivered to us in relationship with the Holy Spirit. We call that the anointing. And the Spirit that made Jesus who he is lives within us, and he teaches us all things, and he reveals to us the truth of who God is. He reveals to us the truth of who we are, of who other people are. That's actually what we call prophetic. I mean, like, if you have a sense of who other people are from God's vantage point, you're being prophetic. When you speak to that, and when you encourage them, and when you honor people by speaking to the gold that's in their life, and that's prophetic. So how then can we nurture the anointing? How can we come into agreement with that? How can we live more fully in the power, that dunamis power? How can we do that? Like, in a very conscious and intentional way. Like, there are some things that we could do. And so let's turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You guys get it, right? I love talking about Holy Spirit because I love experiencing Holy Spirit. I love experiencing things that are outside of myself in the sense that I could never write this. See, like, I couldn't make this up. Like, I'm not smart enough to orchestrate whatever it is that the Lord brings me into, and the way that he connects dots, and the way that he gives me words to say, and the ways that I get to, like, just in confidence and boldness say, can I pray for you when I meet someone maybe for the first time? And I'm not saying I go around doing that all the time, but I'm saying when it happens, when it's not of the flesh, but it's actually of the Spirit, my goodness, that's fun. It's exhilarating. It's life-giving. And so 2 Peter 1:3 kind of gives us some insight into what we can do to start nurturing this relationship with Holy Spirit and start to live out of this empowered life more and more. You might think it's going to say something about going to the latest and greatest conference. Nope. Although conferences are good, I think wise people still travel to connect and see Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's at kind of like omission of this, then I think there's a problem with it. Hopefully, whatever conferences we go to, they orient us towards this dynamic right here. 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power. Okay, it's ringing, okay? You hear it echoing through this morning. The dunamis power of God. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Oh, God has given us everything we need. Like, it's not up to me, okay? So self-righteousness is out. The gift is in. We have received all of this by what? By coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Well, verse 3 right there just nails it. We receive all of this. All of it. All of it. All the divine power. All of the capacity to live a godly life. We receive all of it by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory. In verse 4, because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his what? His divine nature. We're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's his divine nature. That's what makes him who he is. That's what makes him the Christ. We get to share. That's the promise. We get to share this. And we get to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So I love how the Message puts that exact same passage right there. So I'm going to read it out of the Message. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. So instead of self-reliance, we're invited into intimacy with Jesus. That's a good trade. And what this does is it activates the power of God in us so that we can live in the grace that he provides for us. It activates God's power so that we can live in grace. So why don't you stand with me? I want to pray a prayer that is really intended. It's really intended to orient our hearts towards this knowing. What do we come back to? Who do we come back to? Jesus, we say that we come back to you. You revealed to us the heart of the Father. You've given us your Spirit. We come back to you. Trinity, we come back to you. So thank you for the invitation to come so that we can be nurturing this anointed life, and it's through knowing you more. So I pray now for each one of us. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us. Holy Spirit, when we come to your scripture, God, we want to ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal Jesus to us. When we're moving through our days and we're having interactions with people that are in our families and people that are at work and people that are kind of strangers, but we're getting to know them, reveal Jesus to us. We just really want to know you more. It just really comes down to that. And I'm thankful that you are an eternal God, Jesus, that we've not exhausted you. Like, you're far greater than we've thought or imagined. And so I'm asking for more. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to us. To each of my friends here, I ask, Lord, that in times of silence and solitude, in times of worship, in times of driving and just praying, in times of walking, in times of meals around the table with family and friends, reveal yourself to us. And activate the power that you've given us. I bless your spirits, people. I bless your spirits to rise up. I bless your spirits to be active. I bless your spirits to be powerful. I bless your spirits to be godly in all the ways that you manifest, like express your life. I bless your spirits to love deeply. I bless your spirits to experience hope and joy and peace. I bless your spirits. I bless your spirits. And I invite your striving soul to relax. And I bless your spirits. I invite you to enter into the rest of God. Thank you, Father, for your amazing gift, your incredible grace, your very spirit. I thank you and I bless you, God, for anointing each one of us who have a yes in our hearts towards you. And we ask for more. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.